All right, so today is the third Sunday of Advent. And we're glad that you're here to be able to join us along this journey and through this season that we're having. And if you haven't been with us for the last couple of weeks, we've been walking through the season of Advent. And we know that it's been a season of preparation. It's a season of expectation. It's purposeful focus, if you will. It's to move us toward the celebration of Christmas and of Christ's arrival. And we've talked about that our guiding symbol through this season is the star, as you can see that on the back on the screen. And so just as the star was of Bethlehem drew the wise men toward the Savior thousands of years ago, the star guides us on our focus, on our journey, our spiritual journey of hope, love, joy, and peace. And all this is to connect us to the morning star, the light of the world, which is Jesus. Now, first week, just a recap of this, we talked about hope, and hope that it is about waiting and not just sitting, but waiting, but being active, involved as we wait for Jesus' return. And then last week we talked about God's love and how He pours out His love for us continuously and endlessly, no matter how we may feel, no matter what we are, what we've done. There's nothing that we've done to earn it. It's a love that we just can't comprehend on this side of eternity. So, as we continue to follow the star toward Christmas, it leads us to today's focus on the journey of joy. The journey of joy. We know that joy can fuel that brightness into our journey. Right? It's an interesting concept if you think about that, because joy is often misunderstood. And what you need to know is because it's often confused with happiness. Before we get into it, I think most of us in this room, I would think everybody in this room, would agree that happiness is a goal. You know, doesn't everyone want to be happy? I mean, isn't that something that we would like to be? But the truth is, the Bible never promises happiness. But it does promise us joy. See, and again, there is a difference. See, you can have joy and be happy, but you can't really be happy without joy. Right? At least lasting happiness. And it's easy to be happy when you're not suffering. When you're not suffering anything, it's easy to be happy. Or if you're financially secure, it's very easy to be happy. Or maybe all your relationships are going great. It's easy to be happy with those things. But when one or more of these things we have trouble with, what happens to our happiness? And that's probably where we're at. Some of these things happen. It's probably gone. But here's the thing. If you have trusted in Jesus, and you know that you are secure in His hands, you still have, and you still got joy. See, happiness is based on happenings, right? Meaning if the things go well, you're happy. But if something bad happens, then your happiness is likely gone. And again, that's not with joy. And here's the thing. Joy regularly shows up in situations where it may be at least expected. Let me give you an example. Have you ever noticed, if you read the Bible, and every time an angel shows up in Scripture, the first words of the angel's mouth is, "Do not be afraid." Right? The phrase is so common in the Bible as it is with us saying hello to each other. That's how much it happens. Now, I haven't investigated this. I don't know this to be a fact, but I did hear one commentary said there's the word "do not be afraid" or whatever is actually 365 times in the Bible, which would be once a day. Right? So, you know how true that is, but that just gives you an idea. That's how much it's shown up in the Scriptures. And here's the thing. In the Christmas account, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, they all heard that phrase. And those shepherds give us a good picture of that experience. See, you have to understand, these shepherds, they weren't cowardly men. All right? They were a rough crew. They used to live in outdoors in the wild. That's where they were. They fought off wild animals to protect their sheep. They were prepared to fight off any bandits or thieves if necessary. They were rough and tough. And in the biblical account, they had strength in numbers that night on that dark hillside watching their sheep. But when the angel appeared in the night sky, they were afraid. And here's how Luke described the scene. I told you to turn to Luke chapter 2. If I didn't, that's where we're at. Starting at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord.'" Verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Okay, let's just stop for a moment. The angel had good news for these guys. Right? Had it there. News that would cause great joy for all the people. That's what Scripture says. The angel and his group came in peace with the world's greatest birth announcement there ever was. But he first had to help the shepherds get over their fear. And then after they got over the fear, he had told them about this good news. And suddenly the whole sky was filled with angels, right? They erupted with joy. Let me finish reading verses 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" This is our starting point today. This is the starting point we're going to be, as we follow the star today on this journey of joy. And as we do, I want us to walk through three characteristics of joy. Okay? So if you take notes, number one is this. That first, joy and pain coexist. Joy and pain coexist. See, there's so many organizations out there, and I'm going to go on a side note here, around the world that's working diligently to bring clean water to locations across the globe, right? Because we know, if you've been around for a while, we know that unsafe water drinking water contributes to illness and millions of deaths every year. And if you've been out of the country at any time, you've heard them say, "Don't drink the water," right? Don't drink the water. There's a reason why. There's a reason why we don't drink the water. We get sick because when it's not cleaned up. But not only does it bring illness and millions of deaths every year, we also have to understand that many opportunities for the women and children who are most often responsible for hauling this water for their families. So these regions, there's nonprofits who have been working to bring clean water. I mean, have you seen pictures or videos of a village who receives a working clean water source? I want to show you one right here. That was of World Vision, and there's other projects out there like Compassion International, and there's another called the Water Project. You can find these videos out there, and you can see how happy, you can see how excited these smiles of these kids were on their faces, and it says it all. It was pure joy. It was pure joy that they got fresh, clean water. Things that we take for granted, they find it pure joy. And one of the things that really caught my attention in that video, if you read the caption at the bottom, he goes, "Once the grand the older gentleman said, 'The one thing I don't have to worry about, the one thing I know is that these kids, my grandchildren and these kids were going to have water, clean water for the rest of their lives, and that brings him joy." Right? So, and here's the thing. If you've ever been to a mission trip, you see that in kids, you see that in adults, how this joy brings out in a lot of people, that we take things that we take for granted. But understand this, that even though that grandfather, what he said that one thing, I might die from something else, but it won't be because of that worm, right? It won't be for that. And here's the thing. Even though many of their parts of their life won't change, they're still going to have to cope with hardships and pain. But they are filled with joy because of the clean water and how that impacts every part of their lives. It brings them safety, it brings them health, and it gives them opportunity. This is what it gets them going. And here's a strange thing about joy. It seems that the natural reaction for most of us is to think that joy can only come when pain is removed. And that's farthest from the truth. In fact, there is really no way to separate them. You can't. Our lives are in a constant balance of joy and pain as we walk through the experiences of life. Actually, it's often the pain of the struggle that magnifies the power of joy. And here it is. Here it is. This opposition, that the message of the angel is for us as well. And it's telling us, whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in life, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So what circumstances in your life are causing you fear? Right? What do you feel afraid of? Where is the pain of life appearing to eclipse the presence of joy? It's overtaken that presence of joy. And what in your life feels like it's spinning out of control? See, those are the places, those things that may come to your mind as I said those questions. Those are the words that the angels can, that's where they can penetrate the most, deeply and powerfully. See, this message is for you. This message is for me as we go through these troubles. It says, do not be afraid. You do not have to fear. And this is the good news of great joy. And it's for you and it's for me. And we need to remember this on a daily basis. Not just this time of the year, but throughout the year. Throughout the year when you're going through those things. And here's crazy news, right? In the Bible, there's a letter from James that takes this just a step further. He says in the Bible, says to consider the trials we face as pure joy. Right? James 1:2 is going to be up on the screen behind us. He goes, count it all joy, or consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Really? Facing trials is a pure joy? We need to understand this. You don't go through a joy and say, yay, I'm glad I'm living this joy. Woohoo, I'm happy. No, you're not happy. You're sad because you're going through that trial. You're sad because of the tribulation that's in your life. But here's the catch. Here's the thing about joy. It's an everlasting. That joy is what's inside of you. It's what the Holy Spirit is, what God is inside of you. Knowing that whatever you face, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, whatever circumstances, is that Jesus is there with you. Through it. Like I said, it isn't a suggestion that you fake it and stop a smile in this deep pain of life. You don't do that. It's an encouragement that even in the middle of your hardship, anything you're going through, there's a longer, there's a broader view, there's perspective that shows us that our trials can lead us to grow and become mature in our faith. Let me ask you a question. It's rhetorical, of course. But have you ever faced a trial and you've come through it? Do you think you've matured and grown from it? You think about it in your own life. You've gone through a trial and you've gone through it all. Do you think that you've matured and grown from it? If you can say yes, that means you let Jesus take care of it. If you say no, you took care of it. You didn't let Jesus do it. You didn't let Jesus take over. You know, I can't remember how I quoted it, but I put a scripture on there through all this. Not scripture, all I was saying is that sometimes when life gets out of control, we forget that who is actually the one in control. And we tend to try to take those problems on ourselves. And that's where we can't have joy. We let Jesus, we let God fight our battles. All we do is sit back, we wait for His leading. And I can tell you that through your trials and through your pains, growth isn't easy. It's not growth, because it's a growing pain, right? We always hear kids growing up, they have this pain and they're kind of growing and it's a pain. It's our life, it's spiritually. It's a growing faith pain. And that we need to understand that. But it can be, and it should be, filled with joy through all this. So as we walk through our relationship with God, we can grow to experience the sense of joy that comes from understanding that there's more than the pain that we're facing. There's a deeper reality of work. There's an unseen source of life flowing within us that can nourish and refresh us and cleanse and renew us. Much like that clean water in the place of hardship, in place of sickness and death. See, when we are in a hardship, what do? We pray more. We read more. And we seek more. I'm not telling you, and I'm not saying that God puts you in hardships to do those things. So that you will do those things. What I'm saying is that our challenge is when things are going well, how come we're not praying more? How come we're not reading more? How come we're not seeking more? That's what we need to work on. So what does this joy look and feel like in our daily lives, in reality? Well, we're going to get there. But until then, point number two. That leads to the second characteristic of joy, is that joy brings connection with others. Joy brings connection with others. Remember the video, the kids' faces that when they received the clean water? I mean, besides them putting the water on themselves, you didn't see any of these kids alone. They were all jumping around, they were all playing in the water, they were all having a great time. And there wasn't just one person who was super excited and filled with joy. It was the whole village. And if you see other videos, you go online and you watch other videos of this stuff, you will see villages enjoying and expressing their happiness, their joy that they have for that clean water. And the same truth in about the good news of Christ in Christmas. The good news of great joy is for all people. That's what the scripture says. Not just for certain people, but for all people is that great joy. See, it's life-giving joy. It's meant to bubble over, right, and touch others. This joy should be contagious. It can't help itself. And everyone has the chance to begin because of joy. Because Jesus came to save us all. We all have the opportunity. Here's the thing. Do you know someone who has Christ in their lives and they're always filled with joy when you're around them? Right? They're around it, right? Like I said earlier, it can be contagious. It can literally be contagious if we allow it to affect us. See, that person, and I'm not saying it, but that person who's got that joy is probably because they're spending quality with God every day. They're probably reading the Word, they're probably praying, and they're probably seeking. And that's the reason why there's joy, because that's the only way, that's the source of joy, is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. In fact, the coming of Jesus and the promise of His second coming are the source, the joy of all creation. See, Jesus came to set things right and redeem the entire world from sin and death. That's what the reason why He came. And the good news isn't just for the shepherds or all Americans or all Christians. The good news is for the world, everyone that Jesus came back for. We may say that person doesn't deserve heaven, that person. But who are we to say that? Only God, who is, like we saw about last week, His infinite love for us is way beyond we could ever imagine on this side of eternity. We don't understand that love He has for those who may be sick, who are actually killing people or doing disgusting things to kids. If they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they're in heaven. And we sit back and hold up our fists and say, that's not right. Well, if you think about it, it wasn't right for me to get saved. And if you're true yourself, you would say the same thing. Oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. But you know what? God doesn't look at sin like that. Sin is sin no matter what it is. It doesn't matter how small or big, what you may think it is. God looks at it because God is holy. So the minute little thing that we do is sin in God's eyes. Doesn't matter. But it's a joy that comes from knowing that Jesus is there for us. So joy is uncontained. It is uncontainable by borders. It's uncontainable by governments or nationalities or even races. We should know that already. See, the psalmist said it really good. This absolute joy. You want to write it down. It's on the screen. You want to write it down. Psalm 96. 11 through 13. It says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for He comes. If we're not careful, fear and pain can and will isolate us. You know this to be true, right? How many times when you're hurting, you don't want to be around anyone. You don't want to be around no one. You just want to be isolated. I tell you, that's a joy killer. But see, joy brings that connection. And the joy of Jesus coming goes in all the earth, connecting us to Himself and to each other. That leads to the third point. The third characteristic of joy is that joy leads us to worship. Joy leads us to worship. So what is our response to joy? Right? What do we do when What do we do when joy interrupts our everyday lives and steps up alongside the routine and the painful? How do we live in a balance of joy and pain until Jesus returns? How do we foster and how do we experience this joy that is offered to us? See, sometimes it's easy to embrace joy. Sometimes our struggles and our hearts are so overwhelming that we're trapped and that we're bound by our fear. See, joy can feel so far away, so distant, maybe even impossible to have. And the Bible shows us that the appropriate response to joy is always, always worship. And I would suggest that worship can also jumpstart our joy as we fix our eyes on God and His greater reality rather than our intimate problems, our immediate problems, or the fears that we're facing in that particular moment. See, in the Christmas account, we just finished reading, the angel announced the good news of great joy. And then what happened? The entire host praised God. The shepherds immediately went to go see the baby Jesus. They worshipped Him. And they left telling everyone they met about what they saw. That's what we do. If we're filled with joy, don't we want people who don't have it to have it? Don't they want to know? Don't they want you want them to experience that joy that you have? These shepherds said, I saw something awesome and great. I'm going to go tell everyone I come in contact with. Matthew told us that the wise men, they also respond to joy with worship. When they saw the star, it says the Bible says that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And then going to the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped Him. Joy always leads us to worship. You think about that for a moment. What do you think that would have looked like in your life? I told you I like to play role, I like to be thinking I'm at that time, that period of time, and here I am. Let's say I'm one of the shepherds, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to see this baby Jesus, who is this miracle, who is going to bring salvation to the world. I mean, how would I have reacted to that? How would you have reacted to that? Think about that. Shepherds, rugged men, right? They weren't cowards, they were rough looking, they were wild, they probably hadn't bathed in days, whatever, right? Weeks, whatever it may be. They break into song. These rough men out here who we don't sing Jesus songs, these shepherds are probably more rougher than you ever were or are. What about these wise men, right? Here they come all wonderfully dressed. You know, probably wearing their best garments, go see the baby. And here they go, kneeling and bowing or praying aloud. They're doing all these things. Kneeling and bowing in their best clothes. How many of us are, I don't want to put my jacket on if I sit in the car because I don't want to get it wrinkled. Right? These wise men who were elderly dressed said, you know what? This ain't nothing. He's everything. As these wise men, these shepherds left God's message of joy pierce and sweep away their fear, they were drawn joyously toward God Himself. It drew them in, it lifted them up into God's life-giving flow of joy. And here's the thing, we can experience the same this Advent season as we journey toward the birth of Christ. And we can live that truth that the good news of His arrival is the salvation that He brings. That He knows that Jesus is the only way. Peter tells us to walk, of our walk of faith in Jesus brings us joy. That's what he says in 1 Peter 1:8-9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Imagine that. Peter's talking about this. Peter, the same one who denied Jesus 3 times, who said this, said, you know what though? You may not see Him like I've seen Him. But I know this, that whatever you're going through, whatever trial, whatever hardship, whatever fear you may have, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that is Jesus and salvation. Doesn't matter what we go through, if you have Jesus in your life, He will get you through anything if you allow Him. And you may be sitting here today thinking, that's all great, right? But I'm not really experiencing joy in my life. I get it. Because the brokenness of this of our fallen world, it is the opposite of Christ's joy. It's the opposite of it. We live in this sin darkened world that we have to live in each and every day, and it's hard to have that joy that's there. And we know that living in this broken world, it's also contributes to our physical and our spiritual realities. And this season that it's about good news. This season that we're in is about good news and a great joy that leads to connection, it leads to worship, can also be a very lonely time for many of us. We miss people that we've had in our lives. So what can you do if you find yourself there? Well, I'm going to encourage you, hopefully, in three ways. Number one, take time to connect with others. I told you, joy can be contagious. And just like the angels were, messengers who spark joy in these many humans, a friend or a loved one or even a complete stranger can spark or be the bringer of joy. That's who you can do. Connect. That person's experience and that sense of joy can rub off on us. Maybe it's someone that can bring that to you. But instead of letting our situation of fear or pain isolate us, allow ourselves to step in and connect with the joy of others. And you know what? This room is a great place to start with that. You can find someone that's going to listen to you, that's going to pray, and then you can worship together. It starts here. Get contagious here, and then take it in your mission field out there. Number two, take time to make the choice to be purposefully thankful. Take time and make the choice to be purposefully thankful. Gratitude has a way of reminding us of a joy and the reason we have to be joy in the midst of pain. If you've ever noticed, my prayers always start off with thanking God. Thanking God for what He's done in my life, what He's done in your lives, and what He's still doing. It's an attitude of gratitude. That's what it comes down to. It's an attitude of gratitude. We have to be thankful for what we have. I told you last week, if the only thing God ever did for you was save you from hell, that's all He'd have to do, that would be enough love to last forever. That's enough joy forever. See, the word rejoice we hear, it's a great word. If you think about that, it's a verb. It's an action. It carries the prefix of repetition. It is joy practiced and repeated. That's what it is. When has God filled you with joy in the past? Think about that. What are His graces and His good gifts to you today that are current in your life? Focus on the ways that He is and showing you His goodness. Make a written list if you have to. Read it and then reread it. Have you ever done that? If some of you may be like a journal, and you look back at things that God's done in your life and things that it's happened in your life. If you look back, it helps you reminisce, helps you think about it. But if you just write a list of just things that you're thankful for, and when you start feeling, well, I don't have this joy that I'm supposed to have, go back at your list and look at it. Go back and look at all the things that God has done for you. Carry with you throughout the day. Don't just leave it on your dresser. Don't leave it on the table. Take it with you. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your car, whatever it is. Let it prompt prayers and expression of gratitude every time you see it. Then, here's the thing about this. I'm telling you, I'm warning you ahead of time. Don't be surprised if the growing sense of joy starts filling and shifting your heart around. When you start doing things like that, when you start acting like that and have this gratitude of what Jesus has done for you, what God has done for you, and you repeat it and you say it and you do it every day, all of a sudden you're going to start seeing a shift in your life. And the things you thought were problems aren't really problems at all. It's that joy that is out there for each and every one of us. Third and finally, let's worship God for who He is. Let's worship God for who He is. The circumstances of life can steal our joy. I've had people call me and says, this person gets wonder, why are you letting that person steal your joy? Why? Why are you allowing it? Is that person bigger than God? Don't. My wife hates it that I don't get upset. I very seldom ever get upset. I don't let anyone bother me. They're not going to steal my joy. That's what Jesus gave me. I'm not letting someone steal it. It's not right. It's wrong. And you know what? It takes way too much to do it, to deal with it. Too much. So even in the darkest of times in your life, whatever that may be, we can worship God not for what He does or allows, but for who He is. His eternal love and His faithfulness never, ever change, despite the constantly changing events in our lives. It's His goodness and His mercy that never runs out. We've heard the same before, right? He never leaves us nor forsake us. We do that. See, Jesus brings us joy because we've been saved to eternal life. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I do give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And John 14:1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So here's the question to you today. Is that if you're here today, do you believe in God and have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? That's number one question. If you've done those things and you have nothing, and I mean nothing ever to be troubled about, nothing to fear, because why? You have eternal life. And that right there should bring you enough joy to last you until He takes you home. But here's the thing. If you're here today and you don't believe, if you're not saved, then you have everything to fear. And you do not have eternal life. And you cannot possibly have that joy that we've just been talking about. So I'm asking today is to make that commitment to follow Him. To say, you know what? I'm done playing. It's time to follow someone who's going to save me. If you're a follower today, will you continue to journey toward Christmas and open your heart to God of the universe who came to earth that we could live in a relationship with Him and experience the joy that He brings? That's the question that I have for you. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, will today be the day that you will say yes to Him? Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank You for the good news of great joy. Not just for me, but for everyone. That Your Son, Jesus, came to save us. Father God, I pray that we would experience joy alongside of pain in this life. And that we can respond to joy, Lord Jesus, in worship. I pray, Father God, You would draw us to Yourself as we draw near to this Christmas season. And let us to be a source of joy to others in this season and every season in our life. But Father, if there's one here today that does not know that joy, Father God, I pray today will be the day they say yes to You. Father, I pray that they would come see myself or Pastor Darrell, that we could talk to them afterwards about this joy that we have and that we want to give to others. But Father, maybe there might be some here today that there are followers, but they just don't have that joy. The circumstances in life have eclipsed that joy, have taken away that joy. And Father God, I pray, Lord God, You would give it back to them, that Father, they would repent of where they're at, and that You would fill them with that joy that only You can give. Father, I ask, Lord God, that You would help them and guide them and direct their paths. Lord Jesus, that they may see that there is only one way, and that's Your way. Thank You, Father, for all that You're doing. Thank You, Father, for all the things that You still have yet to do in our lives. As we see Your face, as we shine for You, that we may bring glory to You, and we may share that joy with others that don't have it. And these things we pray in Your most precious holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.